I find that I have a harder time focusing for long periods of time at home because it's inevitable something's going to happen with a kid. One of the three kids is like, big chance of, you know, mama, is this happening? He did this to me. I'm hungry every like 10 minutes. So 9 times out of 10 these days, it's actually at a cafe and it's on a Saturday morning. And I get some kind of corner and all the baristas know me at this point. They check in on me every once in a while. And most of the time it's like just like a croissant or bread product and like matcha and a lot of water and my headphones.
This is Finding the Throughline, the show that gives you inside access to honest conversations about the creative process. I'm Kate Hanley.
Welcome back to another week of Finding the Throughline. I am so happy to have you here. This week, I'm talking with Netta Sami Rotondo, a multi-genre Palestinian-American writer, teacher, and mother who recently published her first book, a memoir called All Water Has Perfect Memory. Born in Kuwait to Palestinian parents, Netta immigrated to the U.S. at the age of 6 to Rhode Island. Her work has been published in The Master's Review, Squat Birth Journal, Topography Literary Magazine, Frequency Anthology, and Gulfstream Magazine. Netta and I are talking on a school holiday because she is a teacher, and I am so happy that she has made time for us. Netta, thank you for being here today.
Thanks so much for having me.
And if you can't already tell, I have a cold today. I was wondering if I should perhaps reschedule this interview. I was talking to my 16-year-old daughter about it, and she said, no, Mom, everybody's voice sounds better when they have a cold. So I decided to go for it. So how this works, so that you know, Netta, and our listeners know, I'm going to be asking you questions that fall into three categories: practical matters, inner stuff, and what's coming up next. If you at home are listening to the free version, which I completely appreciate and respect, you'll get each category of questions in its own short episode with some ads thrown in to help keep the lights on. If you'd rather skip the ads, become a paid subscriber to my Substack and get the entire interview in one ad-free episode by going to katehanley.substack.com and upgrading to a paid subscription. It's only $5 a month or $1.25 an interview. I hope that we'll be able to edit out any coughing fits, but if you should happen to hear some, my apologies in advance. All right, that is our housekeeping. Let's get rolling. So, Netta, this is a big question, and feel free to answer it as largely as you would like. What drew you to the work that you're doing now?
Great question. So, I have been in love with the written word since I was very, very small. I've been creating little stories and things since I was like old enough to pick up a pencil. I have still have like little copies of my like childhood creations stored in my closet. So I've always been a big fan of stories. I've been a huge fan of just like all genres of fiction. I particularly love folklore, sci-fi, weird fiction, all those kind of stories that just like bend reality a little bit and just have you kind of think bigger or more imaginatively. I actually ended up getting my MFA in creative writing from Lesley, but back in 2012, I focused specifically on fiction. And it wasn't until like my last year that I was like all of a sudden super drawn into memoir and like just more specifically like exploring parts of my youth and childhood that just really wanted to come through. And even though I did create a collection of short Arab American fiction that like there's a couple really good pieces in there I'm pretty proud of, the majority of it just kind of like the process of it was important and gave me practice. But as a whole, I just like didn't, I like wanted to just leave that somewhere else. And like now on to this next thing, I wanted to challenge myself more. There weren't really any Arab American memoirs that I like knew of at that time. And so it was like a few years of me really just kind of deep diving into just like, I've always journaled. So I just kept journaling, but like me being more intentional in terms of exploring the craft of memoir and like exploring other memoirs and like, okay, why were they acclaimed for this? Why are they known for that? And I just kind of wanted to play around with the idea. it really wasn't until, honestly, the pandemic that I like really sat down and did most of the work for my book that's out now. But yeah, I was always drawn to basically writing the written word. I'm a huge like geek for like bookstores, like just sitting in a cafe and reading is the vibe, like for vacation, basically for me this week. I will spend my last dollars on a new journal if it's like a pretty journal. Like I'm one of those people.
Well, you and I were chatting a little bit before we started recording about the pandemic because you're a teacher and a mom. And that was a really challenging time for everybody. And then if you also had kids and you were trying to teach classes on top of getting your kids to take their own classes, but you say you started your memoir during that time.
Yeah.
So I just have to ask, how'd you do that?
Yeah. Well, for one thing, it helped everything on being on Zoom because I was teaching high school. It just kind of like streamlined things. And the population I was teaching were these English language learners who were also working. Like these teenagers did not stop working just because it was a pandemic. If anything, they picked up on work hours. So what that kind of created was like an asynchronous learning that was like not really intentional at first. So it was kind of like, hey, miss, like I actually have to work this shift. Is it okay if I like do this assignment for tomorrow or tonight or so? And I was like, sure, whatever. I'm home on a computer all day anyway. So it was just that kind of thing that it was almost like I was needed less immediately, right? And we kind of developed also as a family, like really strong boundaries that I didn't realize we didn't really have before. So like my kids at that time were like almost two and a half, four, and oh gosh, my fifth grader. So he was like 10 or 11. And it was actually because of the scattering of the ages, just like made us really have to rethink just like the physical setup of the house. So like the downstairs became, all right, that was my husband's work from home station. Mm-hmm. And then I like didn't even have a desk in my room at that time. So I literally went out and got a desk. And at that point, our toddler was still in the room with us, which it's totally, it happens and it's totally fine. And I think that's natural and normal. But because I was like we were doing everything at home, I was like, all right, I have to like delineate where I sleep from where I do work or where my kid gets to sleep and come in and bother me. So it actually worked out. And I think my two-year-old was really excited to be with the big kids. And so it like went really smoothly. And like suddenly I had a desk and it like, I think just like freed up the way I think. And because, you know, again, my work was sort of asynchronous, like I would be out on walks and I would be and I think that aided in my creative process because I'm somebody who, like, when the routine is broken, suddenly all these new creative ideas come to pass. And I just think it was just being home and being centered and rooted here provided this, like, surprise opportunity to really, like, delve deeply into, like, topics and themes and feelings that I never really, I think, had space to explore before.
That is really cool. And then fast forward to today, what kinds of things keep you going? So you've come out with the book, you've entered the new genre. What's bringing you forward into the future?
Yeah, I think just like the curiosity, I just feel like I have endless curiosity for like, oh gosh, there's like a million ways to structure this essay. There's like all these ways of looking at this story. Do I want it first person? Do I want it third person? Or like, how did this person do it and why? And like, just like the endless curiosity of all like storytelling tools. And like, I'm just endlessly curious about how the world works, right? So it's just like, there's a lot of nature and science and all like folklore and all that kind of stuff in the memoir for a reason, because I'm so fascinated by those things. And if it's interesting for me, I think I'm so passionate about it that it ends up kind of coming off that way to readers, and I'll rope them in with me too, probably. So yeah, I'm just curious about like deep space exploration and the concept of time and quantum physics and all these things that there, you know, were no courses for these growing up. I'm just curious. So I can just really go down a good rabbit hole every once in a while.
I love it. Are there parts of your work that came more easily than you expected?
Wow, that's a really good question. Yeah, I think I was always stuck on when I was like doing my fiction, it was like I was still kind of trying to develop my pacing and like how much, because there's a level in which it's like, all right, I know certain structures, like I might know the point of view or the characters or the certain direction of change that I want to happen, but I might not know how that might happen. And it's like with this, I just think because it was maybe the themes and it was such like an internal process, I just took all of those rules out and I just, all of a sudden the process became so much easier. And that was the thing I think that surprised me, is that like certain sections, I went with the feeling as opposed to like the knowing. Mm-hmm. And I just followed that feeling. It's like, okay, I know where I'm trying to get at and I don't necessarily know how, and that's okay. And just like that ended up like kind of making it smoother.
That is so fascinating. What about parts that were more difficult than you anticipated?
I think just like logistically, I think the waiting, I think I really had to develop a lot of patience. Like writing is for me, okay, like there was the writing part, but then, you know, like the whole back and forth with editing and back and forth with publishing house and back and forth, just a lot of waiting. So I think the timeline was like challenging. And then when I talked to other writers, it was like a fairly average timeline and something that most people just have to deal with. I'm like, oh, okay. So yeah, I think that was the surprise, but makes sense.
Yeah. One of the things that I do for work is I help people write their books. And it's like a 2-year process from the time you really start like seriously thinking about putting it something together to send to publishers and when the book comes out. And yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to take a quick break for an ad and we'll be right back. Netta, what kinds of habits or practices or attitudes help you stay connected to your creativity?
Yeah, that's a really good one. So I've like developed this bits and pieces over time and it's definitely like shifted over time. But like reading is a huge part of my practice. So sometimes that means short essays. Sometimes that means fiction. Sometimes it means articles on writing or like reviews. Poetry, that's huge. Like I have a bunch of poetry collections. Just anything that makes me have like a different experience with language is a huge part of my creative process. Breaking up like any sort of like dull or stagnant routines and like the physical parts of my day, right? I really did notice that. Like sometimes like the morning workout routine is good, but then after so many months of that, it's like, oh, nope, the evening one is better or whatever it is, just like the physical sort of like structure of my day. Immersing myself in all kinds of, whether it's like viewing art or I listen to music constantly, all kinds of different music. Yeah, just like being in spaces with other multi-genre writers, like being privy to those like discussions and interviews that authors and writers have.
Cool. And what about habits or practices that you do just to take care of yourself that may or may not directly relate to your creativity?
I feel like everything's all connected to my ability to be creative, but yeah, I'm like big on like sleeping, drinking water, all those basic things that you have to do. Uh-huh. But also like big on gathering with community, I think is huge, because it's like as artists, I feel like it's so easy to just get so caught up in your own thing that you can go a really long time never interacting with other people in person. And that energy exchange is actually super helpful, like in doses. Like I can't go out every week like I did in my 20s or something, but having regular time in community is huge.
Awesome. And then, okay, so it's time for you to sit down, get some writing done. Where are you? What time is it? What do you have on your desk to like fortify you?
That's a really good one. So there's like the long answer and the short answer. So like the long answer is like during the pandemic, the hardest one was like my actual desk and like sometimes lighting a candle and putting background music on and just like getting all the fidgets out and just like, all right. And I have my journal next to me and my phone and like a writing utensil. But I find that I have a harder time focusing for long periods of time at home because it's inevitable something's going to happen with a kid. One of the three kids is like big chance of, you know, mama, is this happening? He did this to me. I'm hungry every like 10 minutes. So 9 times out of 10 these days, it's actually at a cafe and it's on a Saturday morning and I get some kind of corner and all the baristas know me at this point. They check in on me every once in a while. And most of the time it's like just like a croissant or bread products and like matcha and a lot of water and my headphones.
Awesome. And what's in your headphones? What are you listening to when you're writing?
Oh, goodness. So there's like my writing playlist these days. It's like an indie playlist. But honestly, it depends on what I'm working on.
Okay. Okay. So you're okay with having music with words? Because I ask this. And a lot of people are like, I cannot have any words. So
yeah,
that's cool. Yeah. Sorry. I was going to say that I was interviewing someone else, another Rhode Islander, actually, Lee Medeiros. She's a screenwriter. She lives in Bristol. And she was recommending Coffeetivity, which is, I don't know if it's an app. I don't know if it's a YouTube channel, but it provides the noises of a coffee shop. For like,
oh,
if you
funny.
Have to be at home, yeah, if you have to be at home, it's not going to prevent kids from knocking on your door.
But yeah, no. It's really the kids, not the noise, that's keeping me from.
All right. Well, that concludes our section on the practical matters of how Netta gets her work done. Coming up in the next Finding the Throughline episode, I'm going to ask Netta questions that are a little squishier, like how she deals with her inner critic. And any ideas or beliefs she's had to rewrite for herself. So I hope that you will come back and join us on Wednesday.
Finding the Throughline airs one interview per week, broken up into 3 episodes that come out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free. Skip the ads and get each interview in one longer episode by becoming a paid subscriber at katehanley.substack.com. Even if you aren't ready to get out your wallet just yet, become a free subscriber at katehanley.substack.com and receive the full show notes with links to everything my guests and I cover. However you listen, thank you. Finding the Throughline is edited by Sound Advice Strategies. Connect with me on Instagram at katehanleyauthor. Here's a little preview of what's to come in part 2 of this interview.
It's so satisfying to like have someone tell me how much their words resonated with them and how much they could relate and how much it helped them learn. And it's just like totally lighting me up and I think fueling me to create. And it's like amazing because it feels like I'm making little like acquaintances and friends like all over the place simply by just like creating.
I'm Kate Hanley and this is Finding the Throughline. More to come on Wednesday.